I like the guy who had last year. He's still...
Jan, we can hear you.
Okay, good. Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
Okay. All right, so everybody, you want to see my mom?
Sure.
Hi.
Doing Baruch Hashem very well.
Hi, Mom. How you feeling, Mom?
Great to see you.
6 days after surgery, 7 days. Here's my dad, 6 months after surgery.
Hello. Nice to see you both.
Sam, welcome. Yeah, Leslie and Mimi are waving hello. Okay.
Hi, Jan.
Hi, Jan. I see Sherry.
Hi, Jan.
I'm sorry, Sherry. I haven't responded to you. You sent us a nice note. Thank you. Oh, Ari Stein from California. Very nice. And Roz, I see you. Okay, now I'm back to my romper room stuff. And I see Dina and Heschel and Pat. Hell yeah. To David Sudikoff, also from California. You and Ari could have hung out together. Okay. All right, let's begin.
Okay, so a couple of things. I'm just, Jan, before just technical stuff, I'm just going to mute everybody except for you and me. So that way you can just unmute yourself, and that way we'll take out some of the background noise, and you can start. I'm going to share screen with you as you begin.
Okay. And you started the recording already a long time ago, right?
Yeah, recording is good.
Okay. Okay. Hello, everyone. And thank you for participating in our program today via Zoom. Please God, we can return to in-person meetings next year in Yerushalayim. Rabbi, if you can post the picture of Sarah, I would appreciate that.
Yeah.
Do we get our thing?
No, because then we get bounce back. Yeah.
Did that work?
No, I'll get
it. I see that you have started screen sharing, but I don't see that. No, I could turn this around. There she is. Okay.
Just want to see what they're looking.
Okay.
Sara Tzipora by Shalom Yehuda Edelman. Sarah was a beautiful, as you can see, intelligent, loving, caring, and capable woman. She was bubbly, vivacious, gregarious, and greeted everyone with an infectious smile. She excelled in school and in the workplace and connected with her fellow students, employers, colleagues. Everyone who knew her recognized her strong personality, her contagious laughter, her loyalty to friends, coworkers, and family, her work ethic, and fun-loving nature. We love Sarah very, very much. We will miss her every day the rest of our lives. We are doing our best to preserve her memory in other ways as well. The Sarah Edelman Memorial Fund is a 501c3 organization designed to help Orthodox children in the St. Louis area in need of counseling, to increase awareness of depression, and to help everyone recognize the warning signs of suicide. This is the website, samfstl.com. And it's the resource for donating to the organization, for requesting funds from the organization, and accessing records of today's and previous lectures. Yeah, you can post the acknowledgement now, please, Rabbi. Okay, there we go. Thank you to all the donors to the fund. Because we had a substantial deficit, this year was even more challenging than previous years. Despite running a deficit the past 3 years, your past financial support enabled community children to continue to receive the counseling they needed. However, without increased support, we will need to consider alternatives to our funding model. We are so thankful for the Zuchut to be able to help. Our family also greatly appreciates your love and support. One indication that our fund is helping children is the beautiful thank you letters that we receive from parents. I received permission to share this one letter with you now. This is a parent talking. We are writing to express our deepest gratitude for your generous support in funding our daughter's therapy. Thanks to your assistance, we have made remarkable progress. She has made remarkable progress and is now concluding her therapy sessions. Your support has been a beacon of hope for us during a challenging time, and we cannot thank you enough for the positive impact it has had on her well-being and our family's lives. When we first sought help, we were uncertain about the future and how we would manage to provide the necessary care for our daughter. Your foundation's commitment to helping families like ours has made all the difference. Through her therapy sessions, she has gained valuable skills, confidence, and a renewed sense of joy. We have witnessed her transformation firsthand, and it has been extremely gratifying and reassuring. As she concludes her therapy, we are filled with hope and optimism for her future. She is now better equipped to navigate life's challenges, and we are confident that the insight and skills developed will support her growth and development. Once again, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your kindness and generosity. Your support has made a profound and lasting impact on our lives, and we are forever grateful. That's the end of that letter. Rabbi Moshe Shulman is our speaker today. Rabbi Shulman has been the spiritual leader of the Young Israel of St. Louis since 2007. Rabbi Shulman has also been heavily involved in several St. Louis educational institutions. Rabbi Shulman holds the rabbinic ordination from the Jerusalem Chief Rabbinate, an MA in Jewish Studies, Jewish Education from Touro University in Yerushalayim, and a Bachelor of Science in Computer Software Engineering from the Jerusalem College of Technology. He also studied Milah under the Chief Mohel of Yerushalayim, Rabbi Joseph Halpern, so Tzatzal. Rabbi Shulman is a member of the St. Louis Rabbinical Council, the Rabbinical Council of America, and the Chicago Rabbinical Council. I have been a Talmidah of Rabbi Shulman for many years. Since the pandemic, I was able to renew learning with him through Zoom. When I'm in Yerushalayim or even Dallas, I can attend his classes. I've always enjoyed his insights into the Torah and his depth of knowledge. We asked Rabbi Shulman to speak this year to honor him for his many years of dedicated service to the Young Israel of St. Louis and to congratulate him and his Rebbetzin upon their upcoming Aliyah to Israel. We are so grateful that he agreed. The title of Rabbi Shulman's talk today is Rabbi Akiva's Secret Power, How to Maintain Hope in Dark Times. Thank you so much, Rabbi Shulman.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Appreciate the introduction and the honor to share some Torah in this forum and for this very important fund and cause and really to add my words of support for all that you do. I'm going to jump right into the shiur and a couple of technical things for anybody who's been in one of my Zoom shiurim in the past, know that there are a couple of technical housekeeping items. One is that the recording video will only have my video feed, so you don't need to worry, but your audio will come up if you have to ask a question, but your video feed will not. But I do ask if you can keep your cameras on, because even if I'm sharing my screen, I see all of your cameras on my second monitor, so it's helpful to me so that I know who I am speaking to and I have faces to speak to and not just boxes. So thank you very much for that. And I actually am going to, okay, so there should be just my spotlight. If my picture is bigger than everybody else's, then you're not in gallery view. Just switch to gallery view in the very top of the screen, which says view, switch to gallery, and we should be ready to go. I also posted in the chat a copy of the source page that I'm going to pull up and share with you on the screen. For anybody for whom it's easier to just have it at your end or print it out, just in case you want it, that it is available to you. I'm going to share it with you on the screen. We're going to be working primarily off of a source page today. And by way of introduction, the subject that I wanted to address is both relevant to this time of year, as we are in the midst of the 3 weeks between Shavuot, Sabbath, Tammuz, and Tisha B'Av, and therefore the question of the whole notion of the Churban and the commemoration of the Churban and all that entails, and certainly no personality and the stories of him are more dominant and present in the story, in the stories of the Churban than Rabbi Akiva. And at the same time, Rabbi Akiva is also part of the story of the Omer and the lead up to Lag BaOmer and the tragedy of Lag BaOmer. So that's also part of the story of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva is at the Pesach Seder, and Rabbi Akiva is really a figure that is extraordinarily important in Jewish history. But there's a lot of mystery around Rabbi Akiva. And on the one hand, we know that all the stories related to him, besides the story of his late coming into the world of Torah and learning, that's a separate issue which we're not going to address. But most of the stories that we're familiar with focus on Rabbi Akiva's sense of hope and optimism at the time of the Churban. And we're familiar with many of them. I'm going to run through a bunch because I want to kind of pull them all together and see a thread between them. And then the question was, where does that power of optimism come from? Where does Rabbi Akiva's power of hope emanate from? What is the what I call the secret of Rabbi Akiva's power of hope, even in the darkest times of our history? And given the challenges that we face today in Israel, where I'm speaking from right now, this is a message that I think is particularly relevant. Where are what is the secret of Rabbi Akiva's power of hope? That's the question that I want to try to address. And we're going to jump right in with the sources. So I'm going to share my screen again, and hopefully this will work and I won't get booted out. This is what happened to me last time. All right, can everybody see my screen?
Not yet.
Not yet. A little bit of a lag. Has it started yet?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So now we're going to start. So I'm going to divide this presentation really up into two parts. One is to look at sort of the history, the various sources that we have, that we know, related to the sense of Rabbi Akiva's optimism and hope and positivity as he permeates, and it permeates really everything. The most famous, and then the second half will deal with the question of where this all comes from. But the most famous, perhaps, is the Gemara in Masechet Makot. Very again, these are famous Gemaras, familiar to us from the various records and lessons and conversations related to the Churban. Give my cough a little bit. Gemara in Makos talks about Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Akiva that were going, walking through Yerushalayim, and this is after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. They get to Har HaBayit, and they see a fox emerge from what was once the Holy of Holies, Ra'u Shu'al Yetzah mi Beit Kodshei HaKodeshim. And of course, the story continues. They began to cry, and Rabbi Akiva began to, it says laugh, but I think it's more than laugh. I think it's to smile. I think it's to see in that moment a positive context. So they said to him, "What are you laughing about? Why are you smiling?" To which he responded and said, "Tell me why you're crying." Amulov, anybody wanted a source for answering a question with a question? That's it. Amulov, they said to him, Makom shekatubo v'azar karev yumat v'achshav shualim ilchubo v'lo nifkev. We're talking about a place that was the Holy of Holies. You couldn't enter into unless you were the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And now there are foxes wandering there as a sign of the Churban. Amalem l'kach ani mitzachek. That's exactly why I am smiling. Because, and I'm not going to get into the whole textual limud, but essentially he says that we have verses related to the Churban, and we have verses related to the redemption. And so the verse related to the Churban says, "Lachem biglalchem tzion sadet charesh Zion shall be plowed over. And the verses related to the redemption talk about Od Yeshvu Zkenim Uzkenot Rechavot B'Yerushalayim, that the young men and old men and women will once again walk in the streets of Yerushalayim. Essentially, Rabbi Akiva says to them, the moment I saw the fulfillment of the destruction and the fulfillment of the prophecies of destruction in the Mikdash, that in itself was proof that the redemption prophecies will also come true. And so I saw in the destruction a symbol of the redemption. To which the Gemara concludes, and this is really the takeaway of this Gemara. The story itself we're familiar with. But the Gemara concludes with a sentence. Lashon hazeh amulo. They said to him in this language, in this phrase, Akiva nichamtanu, Akiva nichamtanu. You have brought us comfort, Akiva. You have brought us comfort. And to recognize the fact that these great sages saw Rabbi Akiva's message as one of comfort, hope, positive, and they're living through the Churban. And yet Rabbi Akiva's power, Rabbi Akiva's message was able to uplift them in this way. And there were many, many such examples. Another one, which I'll share with you. This one, of course, is the story of Lag BaOmer, or the story of the mourning of the Omer, also very famous and well-known. But again, it's the twist of Rabbi Akiva's role in this story that I think is particularly important. So we know that the Omer is traditionally a time of sadness. Originally it was a time of happiness, it was a time of simcha, it was a time of korban, and the Omer, and harvest. And then at some point in history, it turned into a period of mourning. And that story relates to Rabbi Akiva, Gemara and Yavamas. 12,000 zugim tamidim hayul Rabbi Akiva migvat ad antripas. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of disciples. Again, one can take that literally, or one can take that as a description of a great number of students from one end of the country to the other. V'kulan metu b'perek echad. And they all died in one period of time. Gemara attributes a reason for their demise and for their failure. Mipnei shelanu kavod zeh lazeh. They did not respect each other. That's, again, not our subject for now. However, this piece of it, that the world was, that they all died during one period of time, of course, relates to the story of the Omer period and the mourning therein up until Lag BaOmer. But that by itself is only half the story. And whenever I teach this, whenever it comes up in conversation, I always make it a point to point out that the Gemara doesn't stop here. The Gemara insists that we read the next sentence. V'haya ha'olam shamem ad sheba Rabbi Akiva etzel rabotenu shebedarom ushna'a lahem. The world was desolate until Rabbi Akiva, the same Rabbi Akiva, came and taught Torah to five new disciples in the south. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemuah. And they were the ones who revived Torah at that time. In other words, the story as it appears in the Gemara and Yavamas isn't about the tragedy of the death of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim. It isn't about Lag BaOmer and the period of mourning. The story as it appears in the Gemara and Yavamas is about Rabbi Akiva's ability to rise up out of the ashes of the destruction of his entire Beit Midrash and rebuild it and start again and start with five new Talmidim. It's the story of Rabbi Akiva's constant effort to rebuild and to see a positive and to see a hope and to see something in the future and not the despair of what happened in the past. That's really the power of Rabbi Akiva. And assuming for a moment, and I'm going to take it as a given, there's a whole discussion as to when, how Rabbi Akiva's students died and why they died and what the context was. And I'm perfectly happy or willing to accept the sort of the theory that they died in the Bar Kokhba revolt. And because Bar Kokhba because Rabbi Akiva was a primary supporter of Bar Kokhba and the effort to push back Rome and to revolt against Rome and to reestablish Jewish sovereignty and to follow Bar Kokhba, even though Bar Kokhba was such a complex personality. And Rabbi Akiva according to the Rambam and according to the Gemara and other places, the Rabbi Akiva assumed the Bar Kokhba, if he would have been successful in his revolt, would have been crowned Malach HaMashiach and only lost that title because of the revolt failed. But again, assuming that these two events are connected, that you have Rabbi Akiva so close to that moment we can return, restore Jewish sovereignty and Bar Kokhba and the revolt against Rome and the re-establishment of the temple, and it failed. And it failed in all of the Nadar and the fall of Beitar. And yet, the message of it, the takeaway, isn't the failure by the Bar Kokhba revolt, and it isn't the loss of his Talmidim, and it isn't the destruction. It's the fact that after it was all said and done, Rabbi Akiva could turn around, find five new students, and rebuild the entire Beit Midrash. That's the takeaway of the Gemara. And so that adds to that sense of Akiva Nechamtanu, with his extraordinary power of hope and optimism, the ability to find this sense of future, positive future, even after the great moments of despair. A couple of other examples related to Rabbi Akiva. It's also very famous. This is an interesting story, Gemara and Brachos, which tells the story, Amar of Huna, Amar of Shimon bar Mishum Rabbi Meir. These are less known, so I'm going to go through them in a little more detail. Chen Tana Mishmei de Rabbi Akiva. This is the lesson of Rabbi Akiva. Le'olam yehe adam ragil lomar kol da'avit rachmana l'tav avid. Everything God does is for the best. That phrase, says the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva's philosophy of life. Kol da'avit rachmana l'tav avid. Says the Gemara, and the Gemara tells a story. I'll give you an example of Rabbi Akiva's sense of everything that happened happens for the best. Rabbi Akiva was walking along the road. He came to a certain city. You can read along in the English if you want. I'm going to read and translate. He wanted to dwell at the inn, and they wouldn't let. And so he was forced to dwell to sleep in the street or outside the city. Amma, he said, called the Abid Rahman al Tab of it. Okay, if that's the way it is, whatever God does is for the best. Azal Uvat Bedavra. So he went and he slept in the field. Vahaba Bade Tarnagola Vichamara Ushraga. And with him he had a rooster and a donkey and a candle. Atal Zika Kavili Shraga, wind came and extinguished the candle. Ata Shunra Achla Litarnagola. A cat came and ate the rooster, like Chad Gadya. Ata Arya Achla Lachamra, lion came and ate the donkey. Said Rabbi Akiva, Amai called the Avid Rachman Alitav. Whatever God does, he does for the best. Dei Balelia, that night, says the Gemara, Ata Gyasa, a troop of soldiers came, Shavya Lamata, and they attacked the city. Amr Lahu, so he said to his Talmidim, did I not tell you whatever God does is for the best? Meaning, says Rashi, he wasn't in the city because they wouldn't give him lodging, so he was outside of the city. And not only that, had he had his donkey or his rooster or his candle, he would have been discovered. The donkey would have brayed, the rooster would have called out, the candle would have given away their location. But because all of those were removed from him, he and his life and the life of those who were with him were spared. Again, a perspective, and a unique perspective, despite the momentary setbacks in every context, called Avid Rachman al-Tav Avid, whatever God does is for the best. I'm going to ask you to remember that phrase for a few moments because we're going to come back to it. It's going to be very important for us. For now, I want to just move on to a couple of other examples. This Mishnah in Yuma is particularly interesting. This seems to have nothing to do with the Chorban. Amar Rabbi Akiva, last Mishnah Masechet Yuma, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashrechem Yisrael, how fortunate are you, O Israel, Lifnei mi atem mitarim, before whom are you purified? Who purifies you? Mi mitar etchem, Abichem Shebashamayim, your Father in heaven. As it says, I will sprinkle upon you the purifying waters. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Na mikveh meteret atmim af HaKadosh Baruch Hu meteret at Yisrael. On the face of it, this Mishnah seems to have nothing to do with the Churban. But I have seen in many commentaries and in many places the suggestion that what Rabbi Akiva is really offering here, which is really an odd comment to make at the end of Masechet Yuma, happy are you, O Israel, before whom you purified, is remember that Rabbi Akiva lived immediately lived through and after the Churban, which means that it's entirely possible that Rabbi Akiva was expressing this notion, this sentiment, in the Mishnah in Yuma, in one of the early years of Yom Kippur following the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And you can imagine what the shock and the despair that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur would have had, particularly Yom Kippur for the Jews, in the aftermath of the destruction of the Temple, because there was no Avoda. For so many centuries, Yom Kippur was all about the Avoda, about the Yom Kippur Gadol entering into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, etc. And what would Yom Kippur look like without the Avoda of the Beit HaMikdash? Comes along with Rabbi Akiva, and he says to them, you know what? Ashrechem Yisrael. Happy are you, O Israel. You don't have to have the Kohen Gadol stand in the Avoda, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and enter into the Holy of Holies on your behalf. You can stand before God, and God can purify you, and you can be purified before God directly. You don't need the Avoda. You can stand before God in prayer. Whole new perspective, which we're so used to. We live that philosophy every year. But for Rabbi Akiva, and for those first years after the destruction of the temple, this would have been revolutionary. I have a couple of other brief observations that's similar in vein in terms of the nature of Rabbi Akiva's comments. Rabbi Akiva Mechilta makes the following observation. Do not deport yourselves with me as others do with their gods. Meaning, when good befalls them, they honor their gods. But if evil befalls them, they curse their gods. But you, says Rabbi Akiva, if I bring upon you good things, give thanks. If I bring upon you affliction, also give thanks. As it says, Kos Yisuot Esa V'Shem Hashem Akra, Tzara V'Yagon Emza V'Shem Hashem Akra. Two verses in the same chapter of Tehillim. If there be a cup of salvation, I will lift it up and I will sing and I will say praise to God. And if there be a moment of despair and distress and that despite the cords of death that surround me and the pain and the trouble and the sorrow, and still Hashem Hashem Akra, call out to God in the same gracious is God, Chanun Hashem, Vitzadik. And so Rabbi Akiva's perspective, which is of course reflected in the Mishnah and Brachos, Kishem Shemavachim Alara, Kach Mavachim Alatov, we thank God for the good, we thank God for the bad, relates back to the issue of Kol Da'avad Rachman Alatov, whatever God does is for the good, all part of this philosophy of life of Rabbi Akiva, which was so extraordinary, so unique, so profound. And the question that we have not yet begun to ask is, where does it come from? Where does Rabbi Akiva's power of optimism, hope, despite terrible calamities and terrible tragedies, where does it come from? I'm going to move into a couple of other well-known stories of Rabbi Akiva. Of course, the Gemara tells the story of Rabbi Akiva's own death, and how he died al Kiddush Hashem. And as the Romans had taken him with his story, which of course we read in the Piyut of the Asari Gamalchus every year on both Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur, as they brought him out and he was saying Shema, And this Tamidim said to him, Adkan, you're saying Shema in the middle of all of this, of being killed for being a Jew, for learning Torah and for being a Jew. And his response was that he now has the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of B'chol Nafshecha Afilu Notelet Nishmatcha, with all your soul, even if he takes your soul. And the Gemara concludes, and the conclusion is very interesting. Happy are you, Rabbi Akiva, your soul left your body as you recited the word Echad, and you are ushered into the world to come. Again, it fits the perspective of Rabbi Akiva. I'm looking, we will explore for the source of this extraordinary power of Rabbi Akiva. Before we go there, however, I want to share with you two brief additional points that we don't typically see in this context that are unique, and share with you in this regard. One, I'm going to skip the first two sources. The one is the Gemara in Pesachim that relates to the Magid Bracha that we say every Pesach. In the Haggadah, we are used to the fact that the Magid Bracha ends with a very long bracha. Ruchata Hashem Alkeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Galanu V'Galat Avoteinu, God who redeemed us and redeemed our forefathers from Egypt and who brought us to this night to eat matzah and maror, so too God should bring us to redemption in the future, L'moadim V'Elokim Acharim, and we should come rejoicing in to your city and to your service and to your avoda, etc. In fact, in the Gemara, there are two separate brachas. There are two separate opinions. There's the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon, who says, Asher galanu v'ga'alat avoteinu mimitzrayim b'lo yachotem, the bracha consisted only of ga'alanu v'ga'alat avoteinu, just the sense of magid. We're talking about redemption of Egypt. We're talking about a bracha over the redemption of the past. And it's Rabbi Akiva, in that context, who says, no, you have to include the future. You have to recognize that redemption of the past is a prelude to redemption of the future. You cannot leave it as a history lesson. It has to be relevant to our lives today and to our lives tomorrow. And that is how we conclude the Pesach Seder. That's how we conclude Magid. So in this regard, I want to share with you the following passage from Rabbi Sachs, kind of summarizes the bracha of Rabbi Akiva and puts it into the context of exactly what we are describing as Rabbi Akiva's great power. This, says Rabbi Sachs in his Haggadah, this is a blessing over the past and a prayer for the future. It was composed by two great scholars. The first was Rabbi Tarfon, and the second was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, he describes, was the guardian of hope at one of the darkest times of Jewish history. Talmud tells him on occasion, and this is the famous story of the fox walking through the temple. We just read it. I'm going to skip it. And then at the end, he says, it took nearly 2,000 years, but this has happened in our lifetime. It was Akiva's hope expressed here in the vision of days that are coming to meet us in peace, right? That's the bracha that sustained the Jewish people in exile. Rabbi Akiva is always perceived as that moment of that individual who brings us a message of hope, even at times when all seems dark around us. Rabbi Sachs, in the same Haggadah, is an article called Time is a Narrative of Hope, further comments on this power of Rabbi Akiva, when he says the deepest difference between, talks about different time, linear time and covenantal time. So the first gives rise to optimism, the latter leads to hope. These two concepts, often confused, are in fact utterly different. Optimism is the belief that things will get better. Hope is the belief that together we can make things better. Optimism is a passive virtue, hope is an active one. It takes no courage, only a certain naivete to be an optimist. It takes great courage to sustain hope. No Jew, knowing of what we do of the past, of hatred, bloodshed, persecution in the name of God, suppression of human rights in the names of freedom, no Jew can be an optimist, but Jews have never given up hope. Interesting observation in itself. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, says Isaiah, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Hold back your voice from weeping, urges Jeremiah. There is hope for the future. Yesh tikva la'achritech. To be a prophet is to find a vestige of hope in the wreckage of despair. Jewish time is the secret of the influence of the Pesach story on the Western imagination. It is the supreme narrative of hope. That's Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva's fingerprints are all over the Haggadah, not our subject for now. But again, it comes back to this question, what is the source of Rabbi Akiva's extraordinary strength of hope? And where it can be a message to us as well. So that's the first half of our discussion today. I want to come back to now try to, there was one more piece which I'm going to skip for the interest of time, but I want to come back to a kind of philosophical statement of Rabbi Akiva and see if from this we can derive an insight into the depths of Rabbi Akiva's power of hope. Gemara in Brachos related, amongst many stories related to Rabbi Akiva, the notion that Rabbi Akiva had a motto. Rabbi Akiva's motto was Kol da'avid rachmana l'tav avid. Whatever God did, he did for whatever God does, he does for the best. I wonder if anybody recognizes that phrase. It's in Aramaic here, and Rabbi Akiva's expression of it is in the Aramaic. And yet it's very familiar to another phrase we are familiar with. Namely?
Gamzu L'Tova.
Gamzu L'Tova. Correct. This too is for the good. Slightly different variation, and I've heard drashot about the difference between them, but for now, Kol Da'avid Rachman L'Tav Avid, whatever God does is for the best. And Gamzu L'Tova, this too is for the best, are very similar phrases. Yet Gamzu L'Tova is not the motto of Rabbi Akiva. Gamzu L'Tova is the motto of whom? Gamzu L'Tova is also the Gemara. It's the motto of an individual by the name of Nachum Ish Gamzu. Nachum of Gimzu, Nachum Ish Gamzu. Okay, so before we come back to Rabbi Akiva, let's do a little bit of a quick history, the story of Nachum Ish Gamzu. And then we'll connect it back to Rabbi Akiva, you'll see why. Marantinus tells the following. Who is Nachum Ish Gamzu? This has nothing to do with Rabbi Akiva. This is about Nachum Ish Gamzu, but I share it with you because it's so important for us. Amu alav al Nachum Ish Gamzu. This is what they said about this individual known as Nachum of Gamzu or of Gimzu. They played on the words of the name of his city to come up with the phrase Gamzu, Gamzu Latova. Says the Gemara, Hayasuma b'shteon. Einav gidem mishte yadav itea mishte raglav b'chol gufo mukashchim. He was blind in both eyes, amputee in both arms, amputee of both legs, and his body was covered in boils. He was so distressed. Hayamutal b'bayit ra'ua. He was lying in a dilapidated house. And they put the legs of the beds in buckets of water so the ants shouldn't climb into his bed because he had no hands and legs. Really an extraordinary description of Nachum Ish Gamzu. Then the Gemara tells the story of how he related this, what happened to him, to his Talmidim. Pam achat bikshu Talmidav lefanot mitato. It was once a story where his students came to remove the bed from the house. They wanted to remove the house. The house was going to fall apart, and they were afraid of the house falling and collapsing, and so they were going to remove him, and they were going to remove the furniture in the house. So he said to them, "Banai, first take out the furniture, then come back for me. I'm quite confident that as long as I am in the house, my schus, my merit, will prevent the house from falling. So they did. They removed the furniture, then they came back for him, and the moment he was removed from the house fell apart. So then they said to him, they said, if that's the case, that you are such a righteous person, that the house could stay standing in your merit, why are you suffering so? So Nachum Ish Gamzu tells them the following story. Amar lehem banai, ani garanti la'atzmi. I caused this suffering upon myself. Shapam achat hayiti malech baderech lebet chami. Once I was walking along the road to my father-in-law's house. And I had three loads of food, provisions on the donkeys, one of food, one of drink, one of that. And a poor man came and stood on the way. And he said to me, Rebbe, parnaseni, give me some food, some staka. And I said, this is Nachum Ish Gamzu relating to his students, that I said to him in a moment of weakness, Hamten ad she'efrok min hachamor, give me a few minutes. I'm going to take the food off, the provisions off the donkeys. I'll spread it out. I'll take a little bit. I'll give you something. Give me a few minutes. Lo hispakti lifrok min hachamor ad she'etzta nishmato. And in the meantime, I didn't even have a chance to take the provisions off the donkey before he passed away. Says Nachum Ish Gamzu, alachti nafalti al panav, I fell on his face. The amarti, and I said, einai shelechasu al einecha, my eyes that did not have compassion upon your eyes, yisom, they should become blind, yadai shelechasu al yadecha, yitgadamu, my hands that did not have compassion upon you, should be amputated, raglai shalachasar, raglecha yitkatu, similarly my legs, the lonit karad dati et shamati kol gufi en mukhkachin, and that my whole body should be covered in boils. To which the Talmidim then said, oy lana shereinuch bakach, woe that we have seen you like this. To which he said to them, oy li im lo ituni bakach, woe if you did not see me, meaning you need to see and learn from this example. Okay. That's the story of Nachum Ish Gamzu in terms of his suffering and what it meant. The reason I share that with you, we'll see in a moment. Why did they call him Nachum Ish Gamzu? V'gamai korlo Nachum Ish Gamzu? Says the Gemara, d'chomil t'davislikolei ama gamzu l'tova. Whatever happened, he would say, this is also for the good, gamzu l'tova. And then the Gemara tells a story. There was once a certain emperor, and they wanted to present him with a gift, and they said, who will go? And they said, Nachum Ish Gamzu will go. And he comes to a certain inn. He had brought with him a chest full of jewels and pearls. He went to a certain inn, and in that inn, the local residents robbed him in the middle of the night, and they replaced all of the jewels with earth, dirt, stones and dirt. So he got up in the morning and he said, Gamzu l'tova. In the meantime, he comes to the Kesar that he went to visit, and they see that the chest is full of earth, and he thinks they're mocking him. So he wanted to kill them all. To which Nachum Ish Gamzu said, Gamzu l'tova. Okay, that night, Eliyahu HaNavi comes to the Kesar and to this ruler in the middle of the night. And he says to them, oh, you know, that earth, that dirt that they brought, that earth is really from Avraham Avinu. And that earth has the ability to turn into arrows and into weapons if you throw them at your enemies. And so he tests them, and it turns out that the miracle happened. And so they replace all of the stones and the earth in the chest with Avanim Tovot Magaliot, and they send him home with great honor. All right. My purpose of sharing all of this is not the miracles and the miracle workers of the various sages of Chazal. My purpose of sharing this with all of you is to highlight two things. Nachum Ish Gamzu is an extraordinary individual. Number one, his philosophy of life, Gamzu L'tova. And number two was his extraordinary suffering. Whether or not the story happened exactly as it's described, but he was blind and amputee of both arms, both legs, which means that he really couldn't function on his own. Why is it relevant? a look at this for a moment. Mishnah Maaser Sheni. Unrelated to our topic, just a random statement. Isur Acher She'ani Atid Lamod is talking about Maaser, talking about tithes, and what particular tithe that I measure, says the Gemara, Natun Lakavya Ben Yosef She'iz Kebolaniyim. Give it to Akiva Ben Yosef. Who is Akiva Ben Yosef? Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva was a Gabai She'aniyim. Rabbi Akiva was a Gabai Tzedakah. It's fascinating. Rabbi Akiva was a Gabai Tzedakah. Why is that interesting? Because Rabbi Akiva had a Rebbe. Anybody know who Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe was? Who was Rabbi Akiva's teacher? Rabbi Akiva went to study in the Beit Midrash for 40 years, for 24 years. Who was his teacher? For 24 years, who was his teacher? Here's what the Gemara in Bracha says. Tan Rabbana. Nachum Ish Dam's a particular halacha. Again, what the halachas are, if this part of a discussion is not really relevant. A way to become tahor if you don't have access to a mikvah. Nachum ish gamzu l'chasha l'Rabbi Akiva v'Rabbi Akiva l'chasha l'Benazai u'Benazai yatzayu shna l'tamidim b'shuk. This halacha was taught by Nachum ish gamzu, who whispered it to his student Rabbi Akiva, who whispered it to his student Benazai, etc. Rabbi Akiva, it's the Talmud of Nachum ish gamzu. Now, it's even more interesting because the Gemara in Shavuos deals with another particular aspect of it and says explicitly, Rabbi Akiva shimesh et Nachum ish gamzu. He wasn't just a disciple; he was a shamish. You know what a shamish is? A shamish is an aide. Shamish is a person who comes and assists. Right? I remember when I was at YU. For a period of time, and the Rav was still around, and he had a shamash. He always had a shamash, somebody to help him. But in those days, the Rav was very weak and very frail, and the shamash literally had to physically help him. Rabbi Akiva was the shamash of Nachum ish gamzu. How many years did Rabbi Akiva serve as Nachum ish gamzu's shamash? Says the Gemara in Chagiga. Shal Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva k'shem halchim b'derech amalei ata sheshimashta et Nachum ish gamzu esrim ushtayim shana. You served as the shamish of Nachum ish gamzu for 22 years, and there are certain philosophical exegetical patterns that Nachum ish gamzu was known for. Rabbi Akiva followed in his pattern, in his derech. So I want to stop there for a moment and just process what that means. Actually, I'm going to stop sharing for a second. We are familiar with the story related to Rabbi Akiva going off to learn in the Beit Midrash for 24 years. He goes off for 12 years, comes back after 12 years, and he overhears his wife saying, two people complaining, why did Rabbi Akiva, why did your husband abandon you for 12 years? And he said, oh, if it was up to me to go back for another 12 years. All right, so he turns around and he goes back for 24 years. I've heard that story many times. Something's always bothered me about that story. What basis does a person have the authority to abandon his wife, abandon his children, abandon his family for 24 years to go off and sit and learn in the Beis Medrash? I get the importance of learning in the Beis Medrash and having talmidim, etc., but for 24 years, but to abandon his entire family for 24 years, it's an oddity. I'm sure we've all been bothered by the same phenomenon. On the other hand, I'm also convinced that when the Gemara says that Nachum ish gamzu, that Rabbi Akiva was the shamash of Nachum ish gamzu for 22 years, those 22 years are not in addition to the 24 years he sat in the Beis Medrash. He didn't sit in the Beis Medrash for 46 years. 2 years he sat in the Beis Medrash learning, and 22 years of them he learned from his Rebbe. And his Rebbe was Nachum ish gamzu. Now, if those are your formative years in the Beit Midrash, you understand, what does it take to be the shamash of Nachum ish gamzu? we're not talking about opening the door to the car for him so he can get out. We're not talking about bringing, you know, walking with him and escorting him with an arm in his hand to bring him into the base medvish. To be the shamash of Nachum Ish Gamzu means meant to be his full time caregiver. Nachum Ish Gamzu to be carried on his back. Nachum Ish Gamzu had to be literally taken from place to place. He had to be fed. He had to be cared for. Which means that Rabbi Akiva learned in the Beit Midrash of Chesed, of which there is no parallel. This was not the Beit Midrash of the Gemara here and a Gemara here and one and a Brisa here and a Brisa there. This was the Beit Midrash of Chesed that has no equal. To be the Shamash of Nachum Ish Gamzu for 22 years. You cannot walk out of that Beit Midrash. You cannot walk out of that role of being Nachum Ish Gamzu's shamash for 22 years and it not transforming your entire core of your being. And so I come back to the question I asked in the beginning. What is the secret of Rabbi Akiva's hope and optimism? It's not a lesson he learned or a philosophy he learned or an emuna that he had that was bigger or greater than anybody else's. What infused Rabbi Akiva's, I believe, what infused Rabbi Akiva's sense of hope and optimism was that his entire being was defined by the concept of chesed, caring for another human being. And it that kind of caring transforms a person. You can't be the same, but you can't remain apathetic. You can't, it transforms the core of the human being. And so I asked the question, Rabbi Akiva, who could see in the moments of destruction an element of a future of redemption for a people because he knew the character of the Jewish people. He knew the chesed of the Jewish people. The chesed that was at the core of his being, the chesed that he had learned at the table of Nachum Ish Gamzu. And that gives us a strength that is unprecedented and unparalleled. You've all heard the stories today in Israel. And so when this war began, there were, you know, in the world of WhatsApp, really extraordinary phenomenon in the world of WhatsApp today. All of the, we get firsthand news as well, but we also get all the stories. And the number of stories that were shared and continue to be shared every day in WhatsApp groups about the extraordinary chesed that is going on in volunteer work and chesed work and people coming from all over the world to come to Israel and the chesedim that people are doing for each other. And yes, we tend to kind of get caught up in the conflicts of the moment, but all of that chesed is still taking place. It's all still happening. And ultimately, I think that is the real contribution of Rabbi Akiva, which is that it's not about seeing hope in a moment of despair. It's about understanding the character of the Jewish people, that they are in the essence of their being a people of chesed. And such a people will be redeemed. Such a people will not despair. Such a people will always find the ability to help another human being and to bring another community together and to bring another contribution to another another part of our society. That, I think, is the power of Rabbi Akiva, and it comes from being the shamash of Nachum Ish Gamzu for 22 years. And that, at the end of the day, I think is the great message, the takeaway that we have from Rabbi Akiva's lessons. Yes, they're all about hope and optimism in times of despair and times of distress, but they're also about how we are able to rise up above the despair and above the distress, and how we are able to see the positive in the Jewish people by infusing Rabbi Akiva's concept of chesed into our daily lives. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Rabbi. Thank you. Yeah.
I'm happy to.
Thank you.
Minutes. I'm happy to take questions if there are. No.
No, unmute. There you go. Did you unmute everybody?
You can unmute yourself.
Okay. I have to admit that Rabbi Shulman has probably exceeded all of the other speakers over the many years that we've had this memorial. Yes, because there has been hope instilled in all of us and understanding what Chesed plays. Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasodim are the three, the tripod at which all of the Bnei Yisrael sit on, and Rabbi Shulman did a fantastic job.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Yeah.
That's it.
Any other questions, comments? Appreciate your time. And we actually finished, surprisingly for me, we finished a few minutes early. So that's a that's also a first. I'll say Shechianu on that one.
Thank you.
That he had the written stuff up there for to see.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted you to say.
All right. In the meantime, you have a copy of the pages. There's a couple of sources. You know what? If I have, what do I have? 3 minutes left? If I have 3 minutes left, I skipped one. I want to share with you something in that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that I skipped. Do you have a moment? Can we add a postscript?
We have a moment, but can you share with us the pages that you presented?
I'm going to put them back on the screen. I want to show you
something. No, I want to print them.
Oh, yeah, you can. They should be in the chat.
Good.
Menachem, they're in the chat, and we'll put them on the website when we post the audio also.
Thank you.
I had skipped it because I wasn't sure I'd have time for it. And it really wasn't really so relevant to the shiur. But I saw once an observation by Rav Tkachinsky. Rav Tkachinsky is the author of Gesher HaChaim. And Gesher HaChaim is sort of the definitive work in halachas of Avelos. And he has a footnote there, which I think is just extraordinary. So coming back to the theme of Rabbi Akiva's constant optimism, there's a mission in the beginning of chapter 3 of Pirkei Avot that says, Akavya ben Mahalalel Omer, Yistakel b'shloshab dvorim b'yirta baledei avera. If you look at three things, you will not come to sin. What are those three things? Know where you come from, know where you're going, and know before whom you have to give an accounting and a reckoning. Me'ayin bata mitipasucha, you come from a putrid drop. Anatalech, where are you going? You are going to a place of dust and worms and maggots. And before whom are you going to give an accounting for all of your deeds before the King of Kings, the Holy One, blessed be He, the Melech Malchayim, Melechim Hakadosh Baruch Hu? That's the Mishnah Pirkei Avot. We're all familiar with it. And Rav Tkachinsky writes that this Mishnah is so depressing. It's so negative. It's so demoralizing. And yet, in the same chapter, we have a Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva, and he writes that he believes this Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva was composed to be an exact response, line by line, to the other Akiva or Akavya ben Mahalalel. And this Mishnah says, Rabbi Akiva, who I am, Chaviv Adam, Sheniv Rabbitzelim. Happy, beloved is the human being. It's created in the image of God. And not only that, but he is even made aware that he is created in the image of God. Then Rabbi Akiva says, Chavivin Yisrael, beloved is Israel, who are called the children of the Almighty. And they are informed thus by the phrase, Banim Atem Lashem Alokechem. And Chaviv Yisrael Shenitan Lehem Kli Chemdah, beloved is Israel, given a special vessel, a special tool, namely the Torah, Chibay Yitran Adat Lehem Shenitan Lehem Kli Chemdah, as it says, Ki Lekach Tov Natati Lechem Toati Al Tazov. Says Rav Tkachinsky in this footnote, an extraordinary, that every one of these lines of Rabbi Akiva is a direct response to a Kavi Ben Mahalal. Akavya says, where are you from? We come from a tipasucha, a putrid drop. Says Rabbi Akiva, yes, but we are imbued with a tzelem elokim. We are imbued with a soul. We are imbued a sense of godliness, with the spirit of godliness. And therefore, chaviv adam, man is precious. Akavya ben Mahalalel said, Anatalech, where are you going? You're going into the grave, to the place of worms and maggots. Says Rabbi Akiva, Chavivim Yisrael, Shinikro Banim Lamakom. But we are called the children of God. Right? We are not, right? The soul is eternal. We are chaviv. We are special. We are precious. And as far as giving a din b'cheshbon before the Ribbono Shel Olam, chavivin Yisrael, we have a Torah. And the Torah is given to us so that we can emerge victorious in that din. And so whereas Rekavya looks at the world with this kind of a harsh, the whip that's upon us and the from the grave to the grave kind of philosophy, comes along with me and says like the entire
so much more of it.
Is a little. Defined, sorry, there's a little bit of background noise. But the entire philosophy of Rabbi Akiva is defined by this sense of chaviv, of how precious the human being is, how precious Israel is, the Jewish people, and how precious we are because of the Torah that enables us to be victorious. That's of Tukhachinsky's observation that these three pieces.
Mute everybody again. Remute everybody so we can hear you. Mute every.
So anyway, that's the Rabbi Akiva's three comments here to match Rabbi Kabi ben Mahalalel's three comments there. Says with Tukhachinsky that you see Rabbi Akiva's sort of positivity in the way he reframes even the moment of Din V'cheshbon. But yes, we are a Torah. Yes, we have a spiritual side. We have a Tzelem Elokim. And yes, we are Banim L'makom. And therefore, not the Mishnah of Mishnah Aleph, but in fact, the Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva. Anyway, that was the other observation that I wanted to share with you. And so that was the piece. Okay, thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Rabbi. Really appreciate it.
To share this with you. Thank you. And Mitzvah Shem, our Torah, and our Chesed. And I said we should be a schus for Nilui Neshama for Sarah. Her Neshama should continue to be made at Yosher for all of Klai Yisrael, especially at this time.
Well, amen. Thank you very much. Amen.
Bye bye.
All right. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sarah's
Neshama. Be well. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. We should all be well and share Besorot Tavot.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Be well, everyone.
Be well.